we hear God's word, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Then we turn as well to the Gospel of John and to John chapter 10. In John 10, the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the good shepherd. We read verse 1 to 30. And our Savior speaks in this chapter, saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then our text is verse 14. Our attention will be on verse 14 of this chapter, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." After we hear God's word this morning, we'll respond to it with the singing of Psalm 95, verse 1 and 3. Beloved in Christ, nobody enjoys feeling like they're just a number. But this tends to happen whenever you deal with a big organization like a bank or HBF or the government. It feels like to them you're just another account number, just another taxpayer. Sometimes a bank will send you a nice letter. "We really care about you, and we're grateful for your business." But it's the same letter that they sent to 100,000 other people. What do they really know or care about who you are? But each of us has a name. Each of us has a personal story, a complex history of where we've come from and what has shaped us. We have our own weaknesses and we have some strengths. There are hopes that we cherish for our lives. How good is it then that Christ knows us and cares for us? He knows us by name, as individuals. He knows our struggles, temptations, our deepest needs and fears. Even though we belong to this worldwide church, which is past all counting, this numberless multitude of believers, Christ knows his people. He knows each and every one. For Jesus is our good shepherd. John 10 paints a beautiful portrait of how Christ is devoted to the pastoral care of his people. That's what a pastor is. After all, a shepherd. And Christ is the best and most effective pastor that there will ever be. In John 10, verse 9, Christ said that he is the door. That means that as the door for the sheep, he's that living gateway of flesh and blood. Resting behind Christ as the door of the sheepfold, we are safe. We are eternally secure. We know Christ, as he says, was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Because of him, says Jesus, we can go in and out and find pasture. Well, that's one of the I am sayings in this chapter. In our text this morning, we look at another where Jesus says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd." And in this verse, we see what makes a good and effective pastor of the church. He says, "I know my sheep and am known by my own." Christ is well acquainted with each of his believers, having a personal knowledge, which means that he can save us and he can help us. And beloved, Christ in turn invites us to know him and to trust him even more. I preach God's word to you on this theme: I am the good shepherd. Christ knows his sheep, and Christ's sheep know him. Now, if you were a shepherd in the first century, at the time of Jesus, there was a very physical part to the shepherd's task. He would carry those who were weak. He would fend off the enemies of the sheep. He would search for the lost. A shepherd had a very physical job, but also a verbal job. One thing that comes out very clearly in John 10 is how a shepherd would speak to his sheep. At times, there would be many noises that would startle the flock, maybe a loud crash of thunder that sends them into a frenzy, or the roar of a distant lion would make them panic. But above all that other noise, there comes the shepherd's voice. He shouts out warnings, calls with encouragements, and Jesus says, "The sheep listen." The sheep are used to his voice. They can recognize it and respond to it. A bit earlier in the chapter, Jesus describes this work of a shepherd. He says in verse 3, "The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And to appreciate what Jesus is saying, we should know how close a bond could develop between a shepherd and his sheep. As he tended that same group of animals year after year, he got to know his sheep well, and they got to know him. For example, sometimes there would be more than one flock staying in the same enclosure at night. And as they milled about and lay down to sleep, the sheep belonging to the care of the different shepherds would all be mixed together. Then when morning came, it was time for the sheep to go out to pasture again. And so the shepherds would stand outside the fold, and looking at the sheep outwardly, they'd be hard to distinguish. It's like when you see all the sheep crammed onto those livestock trucks on the highway. All you see is this mass of fuzzy wool and beady eyes. You don't see the individual sheep. But the shepherds standing outside would call in a way that was recognizable, and the individual sheep would gather to the one they knew, the one they trusted. Sounds strange to us, but a shepherd might even give names to his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Like human beings, probably all sheep are essentially alike. Probably every sheep is timid and easily frightened. And yet each sheep still has its own characteristics, and a good shepherd knows this. One of his sheep is afraid of heights. One gets nervous around running water. Some always need to have other sheep nearby. A loving shepherd recognizes these traits in his sheep, and he cares for them accordingly. Many years ago, when I worked on the family farm, we had hundreds of cows. We didn't give them names, but they did have numbers worn on these thick bands around their neck. And over many months of working with the same cows, you would notice certain characteristics. We knew that number 142 was feisty, that she would use her body to push around other cows and sometimes even people. We knew that number 250 was very calm, no matter what was happening around her. Some cows were fast milkers, others took a long time, and it was good for us to know these things. Well, what kind of shepherd is the Lord Jesus? He's not one who manages the flock from a safe distance, one who keeps them at arm's length. He says that he is a shepherd who knows his sheep, knows their characteristics, and walks alongside them. When Christ regards his followers, even though his believers are countless in number and endlessly different, they're not strangers to him. He knows our names, our backgrounds, and particular struggles. Earlier in the gospel, this is what was said about Jesus, John chapter 2. "He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person." Knows them with a knowledge that goes deeper than superficial awareness A knowledge that gets down to what's really inside us. As we'll see a bit later, Christ and his people are meant to have a mutual knowledge of each other. I know my sheep and am known by my own. That speaks of how there should be an intimacy in our relationship with Christ, a deep bond that is secure in love and in loyalty. We've been talking about a shepherd and his sheep, or a farmer and his cows, but you could also compare this kind of knowledge to the awareness that a husband and wife have about each other. If you've been married for 10 years, say, already, or 15, 25, 50 years, 60, you know your spouse in a way that is far deeper than you had in those first years of dating. You knew a few important things back then, but how much more now? Some good things, some bad, all of it very real. Through the countless experiences of life, through times of joy and hardship, you have learned about this person on a level that cuts very deep, down to the spirit. In that kind of way, Christ knows his sheep. He actually knows us apart from experience, for he is God, and he knows all things. He doesn't need to learn it over the years, but as he cares for us, Christ has this deep knowledge of who we are. He already knows Elena. Knows her as one of his precious sheep, just as he knows her parents and grandparents and all his sheep. He knows our character, we said, the ways in which we have gifts and talents, how we have shortcomings. He knows the particular temptations that often lead you into sin, whether for you that is pride, or it's anger, or it's lust, or it's envy. He knows your past as well, how sometimes the things that have happened in your life have led to great challenges in your faith. Christ is a shepherd who knows our particular anxieties and the worries that we carry. He sees and knows our secret sins, understands the regrets we have and the fears, sees them all clearly, but amazingly, it doesn't cause him to love us any less. For Christ loves his sheep with an intense and steadfast love. And then in his love, he responds and he pastors us in a way that will truly help us. It's probably true that a lot of times we don't even know our own needs. We don't understand why we act in certain ways. From one day to the next, we can't always predict where our sense of confidence in God will be, or why the next day we'll be discouraged, or why our resistance to temptation seems so weak. Sometimes we're not ready to admit that we are weak, or that we are scared, or we need help. But Christ knows these things and cares for us in ways that are really well suited to who we are. He knows the spiritual encouragement that you need, that's necessary, and so he gives it to you through the preaching. He knows about you when you would benefit from some discipline to keep you on the right path, to focus your mind, and so he sends you an illness or disappointment. He sees our fears and sins and regrets, and so he uses his word. When you open his word, he uses it in powerful ways to encourage you at that moment. Hebrews says that Christ sympathizes with us in our weakness, and he prays for us constantly to his Father. He prays that we would receive those things that we truly need. Think again of Psalm 23. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Because he knows us so well, we are secure. And I should mention for a moment the contrast that Jesus is making in this chapter. The contrast is between the one good shepherd and those who are false shepherds. He calls them thieves and robbers in verse 8, or hirelings in verse 13. Who's he talking about? The religious leaders of the day. They were supposed to be shepherds, but they didn't really know their sheep. They're too busy protecting their own reputation, too busy obsessing over minor points of the law. So they didn't have time to know the sheep. And the result, of course, is that Jesus says, the sheep, verse 8, they did not hear them. God's people recognized that the Pharisees and scribes were not the ones who would guide them on the path of life. But Christ knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, and so they listen to him. If you read one verse further past our text, you get a picture of how deep and how close our relationship with Christ is meant to be. Jesus says in verse 14, I know my sheep and am known by my own. And then in the next verse he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. Jesus seems to be implying something amazing here. He knows his people, and his people can know him in a way that is how, compared to how the Father knows his Son. Try to ponder that. We can have a relationship with Christ that is so close, so intimate, so unbreakable. It's like the union of God the Father and God the Son, bound together in perfect and eternal love. In some small way, we are allowed to share in this. For Christ knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. That's our second point. Christ's sheep know him. Imagine that sheepfold again at the end of a long night. The shepherd is standing at the door. He's calling his sheep by name. Do the sheep listen? Do they follow this man into the great wide open, into green pastures and beside still waters? The shepherd knows us. That's not in question at all. But what is in question sometimes is whether the sheep know him. We're all slow learners when it comes to holy things. We're not quick to grasp and to keep holding on to what's really important for us. So much of what we have learned about Christ through the preaching or through Bible study or our devotions, it gets forgotten. It gets discarded over time. This is why Jesus says that not only does he know the sheep, but his sheep know him. That is, they need to know him. I am known by my own. Beloved, this is essential then. What does it mean for you to know Christ? In the first point, we saw that Jesus is talking about much more than a passing acquaintance with him. He is describing a personal knowledge, the kind of familiarity that people have after they've known each other a long, long time. I am known by my own. This means that for us, Jesus Christ must be much more than just another chapter in our Reformed confessions. It means that he must be for us much more than whatever mental picture of Jesus we might have, like that friendly-looking man with a nicely trimmed beard and a white robe. Knowing Christ is more than that. It means actually recognizing that he has drawn near to you and that you must draw near to him. That's why this passage teaches us that knowing the voice of Christ is essential. Knowing his voice is even critical to our survival. We have to keep eyes and ears on the shepherd. As Jesus says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and his sheep follow him. What's the reason that they will go wherever he leads them? Well, he says again in verse 4, they know his voice. They've learned it. They've listened to it often. The sheep have come to grasp this one truth that the man over there, that shepherd, they know that he cares for them. And he will always lead them in the right way. They recognize his voice, and so they go to him. As the sheep of his pasture, our shepherd speaks to us. When he was on the earth, he let his disciples hear his voice. It's a big theme in John's gospel that a disciple is known by one thing more than any other. A disciple listens to the words of his teacher. A disciple listens to the words of his teacher. It's not any different today. Christ is not present with us anymore in person, but he's given us an immense collection of promises and commandments and instructions and exhortations, and not just the New Testament. The whole of Scripture can be called the Word of Christ, for all of it speaks of him. All of it helps us get to know the Good Shepherd. Jesus wants us to know him by his word. We are allowed to read the Scriptures every day and get to know the one who is our Savior. Then on the Lord's Day too, we have the privilege of hearing his word. When we come to church and the Scriptures are faithfully opened and explained, the Good Shepherd speaks to us. More than anything, we need Scripture, the soul-restoring, life-nourishing waters of Scripture. And yet, knowing Christ doesn't simply happen by reading the Bible every day and coming to church. Sadly, it's possible to know the Scriptures very well and still not know Christ. A person might be part of the church for his whole life and still not know Christ. We need to know Christ by faith. When we slowly come to see that all which the Bible says about him is true, we come to know Christ in the same way that the sheep come to know their shepherd, by experience, by following him year after year, by learning that we can love and trust him. We come to know that he will bring us to places of safety, that he will protect us. We learn that he will be faithful as he cares for us year by year by year. We get to know Christ better and more truly. Compare it to how Christ, we said, knows us deeply in our sins, knows us in our hurts and our frailties. Well, in a similar way, we come to know Christ deeply by the daily experience of you walking with him. You come to find out about your Savior, from how he treats us. We learn about the depths of his character. We learn about his mercy. We learn about his patience, his power. From what we see in the church, we come to appreciate the new ways of the great works that he has done. By walking with Christ by faith, year by year, we come to know his heart. What kind of Savior is he? He is gentle and lowly. He is just and true. He is steadfast and unchanging. We come to learn about how much he cares. We come to learn what he wants for us and how he desires that we live. He wants to be known, beloved, and he lets himself be known. And knowing Christ well like this, and knowing his voice, means that we must also be prepared to shut out some of the other voices that we hear. Christ says that even a slow-learning sheep needs to know that some words are dangerous. They need to know that some shepherds they should not follow. Jesus says that in verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Beloved, have you noticed how today there are lots of other voices? Many saying to us, listen to me, hear me, trust me. You hear these voices on your TV, on your device, on your computer. Their words and their lessons, they come streaming into your homes. And they will give you instruction. And they will set you examples in all kinds of areas. They will teach you about where the world came from many billions of years ago. They'll teach you that love is love. And they'll whisper to you that the Bible is outdated. And they'll say that your body is yours. And you can do and have and go wherever you want. Do we listen to these voices and follow where they take us? Sometimes we do. But Christ says, we must not. Do not follow a stranger, but flee from him. Learn that some voices in this world have nothing good to say. So that means practically listen attentively to the songs on your playlist. Listen wisely and read the books that are on your shelf carefully. And when you visit a website and when you watch a video, ask whether you are hearing words that echo the voice of the Good Shepherd. Would Christ agree with what they're saying? Would Jesus Christ applaud them? Perhaps for some of them, but for many, certainly not. Don't let your life be led by strangers who don't care for you, but get to know the Good Shepherd. Let the word of Christ fill you richly. Let his word mold and shape you, and let it stay with you. Know his voice in the word and follow it. What does Jesus say about your life? What does Christ say about your future? What does he say about your money and your friends? What does the Good Shepherd say is your purpose here on earth? He speaks about all these things and countless more things. To follow him, we must listen to him. To listen to him, we must know him. And so, we ought to spend time every day hearing his voice, speaking with the Savior, growing in our bond with Christ. We know Christ, and we want to know him better. And in all this, we can have a great confidence. Our good shepherd is one we can trust. You can follow him and not be disappointed. You can go to him and know that you will be safe and secure. We have a good shepherd who has promised to lead us in and out and bring us to good pastures. He knows his sheep and he cares for his sheep in just the ways that we need. So does he know you? Does he know your name? And where you've come from? In a way, that's the wrong question. Christ does know you. He knows all about you. And that's a beautiful thing. He knows you and he loves you still. But do you know him? Do you know him? Every day, do you seek to draw near to Christ and listen to his voice? Beloved, seek to know him, that you may follow more closely.